Welcome back to the Neutral Zone. I don't know why John didn't stop the music there, but we are back in business. Last episode of the second season.
Because I was waiting for you to start talking. Oh, okay. And now we just have a... in the beginning of our show.
Well, it's Monday, December 9th, 2019. Been a while since we've been on the air.
Hence why I played... I know you had a song queued up, but I chose a Long Time by Boston because it's been a long time since we've been on.
Yeah, it's been about 3 weeks, I believe. Last week, obviously, I was not... I was having trouble with the Lancaster airport, so we were not able to record an episode, so I wasn't here. Week before that, we were on break, and the week before that, it was only me, and I am not... I'm an idiot when it comes to auditions, so I don't know how to send in a thing. I did record an episode, but it did not work. But we are back in business.
Well, for the last week.
Yeah, for 1 week, and then we're right... then we go for Christmas. Christmas.
Holiday break. Holiday break. Because we don't know what the religious denominations of the people listening in are. So.
The 10 people that listen. All right, so, John, you have a question of the day, and what is it?
Well, I'm sure some people they heard yesterday, the actor that played both Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch passed away. So they wore costumes, puppets, sort of thing. So, Tyler, who is your favorite mascot of any pro sport that is not of your team?
There's a lot of them. I like Orbit on the Astros. I like Wally the Green Monster. In the NHL, I'm a big fan of Norty from the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, Mr. Met's a great mascot, but there's plenty of other ones. I'm not a fan of the Philly Fanatic though. So I'm gonna go with like Dinger or Wally the Green Monster. I can't really pick. Also, actually wait, no. Whatever the Orioles mascot's name is.
Oh, him. Oh, that's
Billy
him.
The Oriole? Something like that. I like the...
It's just the Oriole bird. Yeah. It's just the Oriole bird.
I like the... Oh, the Caps mascot.
Oh, Slapshot.
Yeah. I like him, and Screech is a good mascot for the Nationals. But yeah, that is my favorite mascot. John, what is yours? Because I know the Sabres have one. Do the Bills have one?
Yeah, they have a buffalo.
Ah.
So my favorite is either Uga. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the mascot of the... University of Georgia.
Oh, okay.
It's a live bulldog.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Either that or as much as I don't like the team, I love UP. Partly like because RIP Expos.
If you're going to the colleges, I'm a huge fan of Tulane's mascot. They're the Green Wave, but it's a pelican.
Oh.
That's yeah.
Stanford.
Stanford Tree, yeah. There
we go. NCAA 14 using the Stanford and mascot.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. UD, he's the mascot
Romo,
of University of Delaware.
Romo's creepy.
Romo's a very creepy one, but UD
is a
pretty
good. Did
you
see there's a new Romo bobblehead?
Oh, God.
Out in the main atrium, like where admissions is.
Oh, what is it?
It's literally a bobblehead of Romo. It's like...
That's probably
it's terrible.
It's
like 6'2".
Yeah, that's probably bad. But, well, speaking of baseball and all that, we're going to get some baseball news. A lot of signings happened in the time that we were off, but we're not going to go through all of them because there's way too many to keep track of. We're going to go with the ones that happened this week, and there was a lot that happened this week, but we still have some
Mets
news.
Get sold.
The Mets get sold. The New York Mets, the Wilpons, have finally sold the team, and they sold it to who will be the richest owner in the Major League Baseball. In Major League Baseball, Steve Cohen, will be. I think he's worth $9.2 billion. He could probably offer a contract to Rendon and Cole if he takes over now. The deal is not through yet. The deal is not through yet, and... Once it does, the Mets will probably... His inclination is to spend, which the Wilpons notoriously never did. I am excited about this. I know a lot of my friends on Mets Twitter are excited about this, so this is good. This is very, very good for the team, and I'm happy about that. And then...
Well, I was just looking at it.
Yeah.
Apparently, the deal will take 5 years to complete.
Yeah, so here's the thing with that. He's going to immediately... Once he comes through, he's going to immediately take 51% ownership of the team. But then once the 5 years are up, because the Wilpons will still be CEO and CFO, I believe. But once the 5 years are up, he'll have 80% ownership of the team. So he will be the owner, and his inclination is to spend. Now, another team that has notoriously bad owner, but they hired a new manager, Derek Shelton, hired as the manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obviously, the Pirates have had their troubles in recent years. Who knows how that's going to go? We're going to get into some signings. A guy that I wanted for the New York Mets, but he signed with Texas Rangers, Kyle Gibson, starting pitcher from the Twins, had a pretty solid season last year. He signed for 3 years. The financial parameters of this deal are not out yet, but 3 years. And
the Mets did make a signing.
They did. The guy that played for them last year, Brad Brock, Brad Brock's candy corn. He signed for 1 year, $850,000. That's a pretty good deal. And I think there's a club option for the next year. So, yeah, Brad Brock, good signing. He was pretty solid for the Mets last year when they got him from, I believe it was Chicago. So, yeah, it was good.
Here we go. It's from the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah, what do you got?
Kyle Gibson, $28 million for 3 years.
Okay.
With the ability to earn another three in roster and performance bonuses.
Well, let's see how the Texas Rangers perform next year. They speaking of the Texas Rangers.
New stadium.
Their new stadium. Are they starting in it next year?
I mean, they should, because they had last season as the last season at Globe Life Park.
Is it in the same spot?
It's literally. So here's. They can't see this, but here's Globe Life Park, or whatever the old one was called. Here's the new one, which is Globe Life Stadium.
Okay, so that's basically what they did with Shea and City Field. Yeah, because if you go to Shea and City Field, it's like opposing where they were. Because if you go into the City Field parking lot, they have the former bases where they were.
Yeah. And so. I know they, I forget who, what Rangers player it was, but they showed him taking batting practice.
Probably Nomar Mazara or somebody like that.
But they had him taking batting practice in the still unfinished or
it looked like a sand lot. That's what it looked like when he was taking, but like a giant like warehouse sand lot.
Yeah,
that's what it looked
weird.
Like
it looks like cool, something though. You'd see on backyard baseball. Yeah.
what was the one stadium that was there, like in a warehouse, like a junkyard.
Yeah
it looks like that one. Yeah. And then another signing, a big signing, is unexpected one. Mike Moustakas gets paid, signs 416 to the Cincinnati Reds. He will assume that either third or second base, because they just non-tendered Jose Peraza. And then a signing that I do not like. I hope he gets shelled every single time the Mets play them.
Cole Hamels.
Cole, as Marin would say. Cole Hamels signs with Atlanta Braves, a division rival. And then
he gets paid heavily as well.
Yeah, 1 year, $18 million. Jake Diekman?
Diekman.
That's the one name I don't know how to pronounce. Oakland, 1 year, $275,000.
Low risk potential. I've never heard of that guy.
He was a really good reliever on the Phillies, and then he was traded for Cole Hamels, actually.
Oh, so he's a low risk, high reward
type. He was pretty good last year for Kansas City, I believe it was. But yeah, that's and then.
And speaking of Philly.
Oh, I do not like this. This is an overpay. This is an overpay.
They're making the World Series again.
Nope, they're paying all this to just finish in fourth again in the division.
I know, I was acting like.
They don't have a bullpen.
I was acting like Philly fans after they signed.
Harper.
That's the one.
They don't have a bullpen. Zach Wheeler signs 5 years, $23.6 million. Yeah, I'm sad to see him go, but he is not worth that much. Coming from a Mets fan who's seen him pitch before, he's had injury troubles in the past. He had a very, very crappy season in 2017. Yeah, he had two good seasons in a row, but and he has a career ERA at Citizens Bank Park. He's only pitched five games there. It's 3.08. Now, I think he's going to get shelled in that ballpark. Here's the reasoning. If you've ever been to Citizens Bank Park, you know it's notoriously a hitter's park. They have very, very short poles right and left. They're like 330 feet. And Zach Wheeler gave up home runs. So, who knows? Yeah, they're trying to lock down the rotation, but they don't have any pitchers behind him and Nola. That's what I'm saying right now. If you look at their rotation, their three is Jake Arrieta, who is not the former Jake Arrieta. And then they've got Vince Velasquez, Nick Pivetta. I don't even know the rest of the guys because I don't really care about them. But I think it's just an overpay for Zach Wheeler. You should not be paying $23.6 million for a guy that has a very, very troubled past in the MLB. Not troubled as in, like, you know, he's a drunk driver or anything, but troubled as in he's had some pretty big question marks on his career. But that is that. That is my spiel about Zach Wheeler. And then Howie Kendrick, World Series, as NLCS MVP. 1 year, $625,000, returns to Washington. And then today, the big signing. It happened literally as we were making this document. John put it in and didn't know how to spell his name, but it's Washington. They were saying they couldn't retain the two guys, that the big guys that are going on the market this year. They can get one, two, or none of them. And the guy they chose instead of Rendon, Steven Strasburg, 7 years and $35 million per year. He is a National for life. And yeah, I'm sad to see this because Strasburg has routinely dominated the Mets, but he deserves it. He was a great pitcher this year. I mean, not DeGrom level, but he was a great pitcher. And then, John, we have some trades. What was the first trade? And there was a bit of a funny thing about this trade, by the way, that I won't say what the guy actually said, but it was kind of funny.
To San Diego, Tommy Pham and Jake Cronenworth, who plays in the minors.
Yeah.
And then to Tampa Bay, Hunter Renfro and Xavier Edwards, also of the minors.
So speaking of this trade, Blake Snell, who's notoriously a Fortnite streamer, pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, Cy Young winner, was visibly disgusted on stream when he learned about this trade. He said, "We traded Pham for Renfro and a slap something prospect." I obviously can't say it on radio what he said, but he was not happy about this trade, and I wouldn't be too. Tommy Pham was a very, very big bright spot for those Tampa Bay Rays last year. He was a big part of their playoff run, and it's just a big, because Hunter Renfro is not Tommy Pham. Hunter Renfro is a three true outcomes guy. Strikeout, home run, walk. That's what he is, and that's what he'll be for his career. So that's that. The Mets made a trade. Now, I really hope this isn't the only thing they do to address their center field this season, but it probably will be this offseason. The Mets and Houston have had the Midas touch with trades the last 2 years. J.D. Davis, if you know to ring a bell. Jake Marisnyk comes to the New York Mets. Center fielder, great center fielder. Not a great bat, but he's a great fielder. And the Mets trade two prospects, Blake Taylor and Kennedy Corona. So I like this trade. That's giving up really just not two great prospects for a guy that's not a great hitter, but he can lock down center field platoon with Nimmo maybe. And then what's the next trade, John?
It's somewhat of a big one.
He had a good year last year.
Omar Narvaez to Milwaukee for Adam Hill, who's in the minors.
So Adam Hill, speaking of him, he was the guy that the Mets traded to Milwaukee for Keon Broxton. Surprise, surprise. So, yeah, Adam Hill traded a lot. Omar Narvaez is a very good catcher. I'm not saying he's like an all-star, but he was pretty good last year, I believe. If I got to pull up his stats right now. But I think this is a good trade because Milwaukee obviously lost Grandal to the White Sox. That was another signing. He hit .278 with 22 home runs this year and was worth 2.1 WAR. So that's a good trade. And then a big trade, not really. The Mets were rumored to target this guy, but Dylan Bundy heads to the Angels. He in trade for four prospects. Can you believe that?
So I'm just looking at the 2019 MLB Prospect Watch.
Yeah.
Only one of the prospects is on currently Baltimore's top 25 or top 30 prospects, and that's where'd he go?
Is it Madison? Isn't it Madison?
It's Kyle Bradish, right-handed pitcher.
I just don't understand why they gave up so much for Dylan Bundy, who's not been a very good pitcher. I mean, yeah, he was on the Orioles. You can say that. You can bring up that argument all you want. The Orioles, they lost 100-plus games. But Dylan Bundy, bottom line, he's nowhere near the level of where he should have been. He was, like, I think he was the number one prospect in MLB 2K13. This year, .479 ERA. Last year, lost the most games in the American League with a 5.45 ERA. He has a career .467 ERA. We'll see how that goes. But for traded for prospects, Isaac Madison, Kyle Bradish, Kyle Brnovich, and Zach Peake. And then the last one, to San Diego, a guy that's had trouble in the major leagues, was one of the top prospects in baseball a while ago. Jerickson Profar goes to San Diego for a prospect named Austin Allen. And that is all we have for Major League Baseball. There will be certainly more when we come back from break. We will highlight all the biggest signings and trades once we come back. And once we come back, it's a month away from spring training. How about that? And I might be going to spring training this year.
Really?
So yeah, I have family that lives down in, or not family, friends that live down in Port St. Lucie. And that's where the Mets play. So I'll be going to that. All right, John, we have got some hockey and some big news in the recent week. You're preparing your headphones for me to yell.
No,
I think.
No, they were just hurting my
head. Oh, yeah. All right.
Because there's that weird little thing up top. Okay. John Hines is gone. Cool.
John Hannes has been fired. So this has been something, I mean, the Devils fans, they just bullied Ray Shiro into doing what they want. They bullied him for Gusev. Obviously, you know, the team is terrible this year, but that's what you got right there. John Hines is gone. John Hines is gone. You can rejoice because he is no longer the coach of the New Jersey Devils. Now, Alain Nasruddin isn't much better. I mean, thank you, John. By the way, I'm going to offer sincere thank you to John for getting John Hines fired. Devils played the Sabres and lost 7-1. And then the next day, John Hines got fired. So,
well, you know what? I'm still upset about the firing. You know why?
Why?
they didn't put Mike Greer
as
the new head
coach. Yeah, I would have liked to see Greer as head coach. I feel like he could be a really good head coach. He doesn't get a lot of say on the Devils, I don't think.
Did he even play for the Devils?
No, he didn't. But he was a great Saber. All-time great Saber. And then another Devils thing, John. What is this on this date?
Well, actually, I just looked it up. It looks like the only, other than Greer, the only, this is a bit old, but the only African-American head coach is assistant in Calgary, Paul Girard.
Okay. Yeah, and Peter Horacek assumes assistant coach role, by the way, for that.
Was Greer fired then?
No. It was, I think, it's right now, it's Horacek, Rick Kowalski, and Mike Greer. Or is he not even on the staff anymore?
Let's see. Mike Greer, news. Nope, Mike Greer is still an assistant.
Okay,
according to Espen.
Yeah, so it's him, Rick Kowalski, and now Peter Horacek, who formerly coached in the NHL, I believe.
Interim with Florida and Toronto.
And
your guys' goaltending coach. Do you know who that is?
Oh, is it Chris Terreri still?
No.
I have no idea.
Roland Melanson.
Oh, Rolly Melanson, yeah.
Melanson, excuse me.
But yeah, Leighton Nasruddin assumes his head coaching role, his first head coaching job ever. And I wish the Devils hired Mike Babcock. I feel like that would have been
even after what came out about him.
What did he do?
He did something that, what was it?
And then another coach was fired, by the way. What's his name? I forget. From Calgary, was it?
Yeah.
Calgary loses two coaches in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Glenn Gallutson was the other guy?
Yeah. Babcock did the thing where he sent Matt, he asked, the rookies like Marner to rank the guys on their work ethic, and then told the guys that Marner said that they had poor work ethic.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's questionable at the best.
And, of course, he opening night, he scratched Jason Spezza.
Oh, weren't they playing Ottawa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, going to be his 1,000th, something like that. It was going to be one of his big games.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see the Devils get somebody other than Nasruddin in the head coaching spot. But, yeah, speaking of the Devils, John, what is the on this date?
The New Jersey Devils Associate Organization announces that it will change its colors back to black, red, and white for the 1992-93 season. And I would like to point out that their old jerseys were better.
Well, here's my take on the jersey. They have the Heritage jerseys right now that look like their old ones. They don't look anything like them.
They should bring out a jersey in the Colorado colors.
Oh, my gosh.
They should.
Yeah.
I know they were in Colorado for, a year? A
couple years. They were in Kansas City for two, and I think Colorado for, six.
They should bring, at least just for, one game.
They routinely have them in NHL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they don't have them in this. But, all right, John, what are these? These are projected points for the entire season?
Yes, so as of right now.
I would like to point out that one of the guys on the list, Jonathan Huberdeau, is projected for 102 points this season, but he is one of the worst line mates to play with in Chill. Because I'm on Florida, and he makes him and Evgeny Dadonov take the stupidest shots ever.
Is it Dadonov? I thought it was Dadonov.
I think it's Dadonov. I just messed that one up.
All right, so Draisaitl projected at 136, McDavid 133, McKinnon 127.
Jeez, how about that, though?
I know.
The McDavid and Draisaitl.
The fact that Edmonton still is not
good. They lost to the Sabres last night.
In overtime. Marchand 120, Pastrnak 110, or 118.
Pastrnak on pace for 68 goals. That's ridiculous.
Yes. Carlson, a defenseman, on pace for 114.
Oh, that's like Paul Coffey numbers.
Eichel 111, Panarin 102, Huberdeau and Barkov at 102.
I see none of these teams except for Colorado and Boston and Washington making the playoffs.
Even Washington's a bit.
Yeah. Because Carlson's carrying the team right now. Can you believe that? Gone are the days of Ovi carrying this team. It's Carlson that's carrying the team. Because if you look at the list, you've got Edmonton, Colorado, Boston, Washington, Buffalo, Rangers, and Florida. I say Washington, Boston, and Colorado, only teams on the list that make the playoffs. Florida might make it. But I think, has Bobrovsky been bad for them?
I believe so.
Yeah, so. Well, we've got that, and then we've got some scores. Winnipeg beat Atlanta in overtime. Atlanta, whoa. beat Anaheim in overtime last night.
I was going to say, did I type that wrong?
They beat them 3-2 with two goals from Mark Scheifele and a goal from Adam Lowry, right?
Yeah.
I forgot his first name. I was thinking of Kyle Lowry for a second.
No. Nope.
Don't know why. Don't watch basketball. Anaheim scored from Drew Shore and Jacob Silfverberg.
Jakob
Silfverberg. And then, John, what's the next game?
Florida thrashed San Jose 5-1.
San Jose. How about San Jose this season?
They're bad.
They've just been – I think they're in a playoff spot, but they've just been terrible.
That's because the Pacific sucks.
Yeah.
Next. Vetrano, Barkov, Yandel, Connolly, and Mike Matheson. San Jose's lone goal scorer was the
– Kevin LeBanc!
The guy with the best contract in the NHL.
Yeah. Oh, great, great player.
Yes.
And great, great team-friendly contract.
How about that shootout?
The shootout game. I'll let you take the next two as well. The shootout game. 4-3 Arizona beat Chicago. Beat Chicago 4-3 in the shootout. Goals from Carl Soderberg, Christian Fisher, and Connor Garland for the Arizona. And then it's Tomas Kubalik.
It's Dominic.
I
don't think Tomas Kubalik. You're thinking of Aleš
Kubalik. Tomas Kubalik? Sure it's not Kubalik?
He's a UFA.
Oh, okay.
His older brother is Dominic.
Okay. And then Alex DeBrincat and Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, Kubalik hasn't played in the NHL since 2011.
Ah, okay. Still a UFA, though.
Yes. The Rangers beat Vegas 5-0. New York with goals from Artemi Panarin.
Speaking of the Rangers, how about Georgiev stepping up right now? Fun to watch. As much as I hate the Rangers, Georgiev has been fun to watch in net. Shutting out Vegas, a good team. Panarin, Trouba, Fast, Zibanejad, and Chris Kreider. And then, John, what did the Sabres do last night? Do we really even care what the Sabres did last night?
Beat Edmonton.
Oh, nice.
Goals from three guys you would not expect.
Yeah. Johan Larson,
Kyle Appizo, and Colin Miller. Edmonton's goals from Riley Shahan, new with the team, recently traded there. And I think it's Joachim Nygaard.
By the way, I like the Oilers jerseys they were wearing last night. Even though they're weirdly colored, I like them. I like the pads. Was it Koskinen in the net last night? I like the pads he was wearing.
I hate the all orange.
The all orange, yeah, they're kind of ugly. Speaking of nice pads, have you seen Louis Domingue's pads for the Devils?
No.
They're like red and black.
Oh, yeah, I did see those because he played against Buffalo.
He didn't really play against Buffalo. He was more or less an empty net when he played against Buffalo.
Hey, he did make that save with his blocker, and then the puck went over him and into the net.
Yeah, I thought we agreed to stop talking about this game, John. Louis Domingue. Shout out to Louis Domingue right there. And then tonight's games, Columbus at Washington at 7, Islanders at Tampa Bay at 7, Boston at Ottawa at 7:30, and Calgary Colorado at 9. I don't know who's playing where, but Calgary and Colorado.
It's a neutral site game. They're playing in Minnesota.
They're playing in New Jersey. Like when the Yankees played at Citi Field against the Rays.
Or the Bills Jets. There was a snow out at in Buffalo.
So they played in, where they play?
Detroit.
What? I think the funniest thing, a no-hitter was thrown in a neutral site. It was Chicago Cubs against Houston in like 2008, and they played in Milwaukee. Now, how do you get Milwaukee from Chicago and Houston? That's what I want to know. Crazy neutral site games. I love neutral site games. They're funny.
Also, I would you're talking about neutral site games. That reminds me.
The neutral zone.
No. I just want to talk about it real quick. The college football playoffs has been announced.
Okay.
It's going to be LSU against Oklahoma and Ohio State versus Clemson.
By the way, first time since 2011, I believe, that Bama is not in the college football playoff.
Or, no, that they're not in a New York Six Bowl.
Oh.
So that's New York Six is the Sugar Bowl.
Orange, Rose, all those.
Let's see.
Well, they're in some bowl, right?
Yeah.
They're playing the Michigan State. Or Michigan.
Yeah, they're in the
Well, while you're talking about that, I'll bring up the NHL Stars of the Week. John Carlson, we mentioned before, is the first star of the week. 3 goals, 3 assists, 4 6 points. And then, for Washington, 2 game-winning goals. And then Tristan Jarry for Pittsburgh, a terrible team in Pittsburgh. We do not like them. 2 games played, 2 shutouts this week. He's had a good season. And then, John, who's the third star?
Eichel, 4 games played.
Has he even really done anything this season? I mean, is he even that good?
Yeah.
No, I mean...
Okay, so here we go. So Peach Bowl, Oklahoma, LSU, Fiesta Bowl, Clemson, Ohio State, and then New Year's Six, Sugar Bowl is Baylor versus Georgia, the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin versus Oregon, Orange Bowl, Virginia versus Florida, and the Cotton Bowl is Memphis, Penn State.
Memphis, Penn State?
Yes.
How good is Memphis this year?
They're 17.
Oh.
And Alabama
is... I like Memphis.
Alabama is all the way down in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan.
What a fall from grace for Alabama. That's what, 8 consecutive years in the college football playoff, and then they don't even make it this year.
I like looking at...
Speaking of something.
Yes.
Over break, I attended the Clemson-Carolina game. That was fun. That was a good game, even though Clemson slaughtered Carolina. I would like to also point out that I've gone to more other college football games than I have an RMU football game.
Yes. I was just about to say, I like looking at all these bowls because they're some of the weirdest teams. Guess what two teams, okay, just this one, are playing in the Idaho Potato Bowl.
Or what state are they from?
Well, that's giving it away because the teams are the state names.
I'm going to go with Oregon State and Ohio.
It's Ohio versus Nevada.
Oh, Nevada. I like the Wolfpack. And then I like their logo.
The Gator Bowl is Tennessee versus Indiana.
Some pretty random matchups here.
Yeah. You have Kansas State versus Navy playing.
I do like that they have expanded the college football a little bit, the bowls, but it's just getting, like, ridiculous, the amount of weird teams that are playing in these. Memphis, Penn State? Like, that is the most random matchup in the entirety of the bowls. Is that a New York Six one?
Yeah, that's the...
This is the orange.
Cotton Bowl down in Texas. Speaking of the Cotton Bowl, what's happening there this year?
The Winter Classic.
Yes.
Is that what the stadium's called? The Cotton Bowl?
Yeah. That's weird. I know.
Isn't that where Texas plays?
No, Texas has their own stadium in Austin. They used to play at the Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
Also, Central Michigan and San Diego State are playing in the New Mexico Bowl.
I like Williams-Brice Stadium. You know where that is?
Yeah, that's...
That's Carolina.
Yeah.
They played Darude Sandstorm before every kickoff.
I like Joe Walton Stadium.
Williams-Brice Stadium would eat Joe Walton Stadium.
For, like, three times.
Three times over. That stadium is massive.
It's weird seeing... Because the fields are the same size, 100 yards.
They are, but...
It's so weird.
There's just no crowd there's no crowd area at Joe Walton. It's like an actual NFL-sized stadium in South Carolina, but no team plays in South Carolina. So we've got some birthday wishes. John's got a couple of players down here that he would like to wish a happy birthday. John, who are they?
They are Peter Nedved.
Happy 48th birthday, Peter.
He played for Vancouver, St. Louis, New York, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Edmonton, Phoenix, Philadelphia, HC Sparta Praha, and HC Bili Tigri Liberec.
All right.
I don't think I pronounced that correctly.
Happy birthday, Jeff Petrie. Jeff Petrie, 32.
Petrie.
Has had a weird career.
He played for Edmonton and Montreal.
Is he like, people think he's good? I don't know.
I don't know.
What is he? Who knows?
And Atlanta then, Thrashers legend.
That is true. Jim Slater.
I always traded for Jim Slater and Chell. You know why?
Why?
He had a cat, like a, he was a decent enough sixth defenseman and he had a cheap cap hit.
Center.
Is he? I'm thinking of.
You want to know what's something funny about the Jets?
I'm thinking of the other guy on this list that's from Winnipeg that played in Winnipeg.
Oh, Kyle Connor.
No, the other dude.
Oh, Joe Morrow.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Speaking of something, I have something pretty interesting about the Atlanta Winnipeg Jets franchise. There's only two. I think it's only three goalies actually that crossed over. It's Pavlich. I think Al Montoya. Not Montoya. Peter Menino. And then I don't know the third one. There's only one goalie in history to play for both Hartford and Carolina.
Oh, that.
It's really easy because he played for, like, so many expansion teams.
Oh, I know.
Played for the Devils, too.
Yes. What's his name? Oh, no.
The original Marty.
I know. What's his name?
Sean Burke.
That's the.
He played for, like, Phoenix, Carolina, Tampa Bay. All those teams that you can think of.
He also played in, you said Sean Burke?
Yeah,
he played in Vancouver.
Vancouver,
not during the thing of it, not during their expansion, obviously, because you know It would have been like 17.
Another team that played for a lot of a guy that played for a lot of expansion teams, Ron Tugnutt. Speaking of a Devils player, goalie, Mackenzie Blackwood, 23 years old today. Happy birthday, Mackenzie Blackwood. I am sorry for the situation you're putting, because you are a good goalie. It just doesn't look like it from the way the Devils are playing this season. Kyle Connor, happy birthday. Joe Morrow, happy birthday. And that is all the birthdays we have.
And clips.
And we're going to get right into clips. Let's do it. Sorry for the sorry for the ear rape right there. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. I don't see why
not. Didn't Owen say that once about Patrick Kane? Yeah, he's a rapist.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you just said it again. So. Yeah.
Who cares? First clip is an amazing save by Robin Leonard. We will do that right now.
Are you sure?
Do you have my thing turned up?
Yeah, it's up.
Let me try this again.
It should be up.
Here's Dvorak. He centered Kessel for Dvorak. Oh, what a save by Leonard. Rebound to Kamp. He's pressured, threw it away. Oh, Leonard! Keller can't believe that one.
Well, I just would like to point out that the announcer just went
through
puberty.
I hate Chicago's announcer. Yeah, I hate him.
That was kind of bad. That was a bad call. Great save. Hey, what a save, though.
You know who made the save on?
Clayton Keller.
For those of you that obviously don't know, our boss Logan Carney has now got a signed stick from Clayton Keller,
and he has no idea who he is. On his Facebook post, he said, "Great kid."
Yep,
great kid.
He wouldn't even know that Clayton Keller actually
of the best players.
I was gonna say where he played juniors, but is it Sault Ste. Marie?
Sault Ste. Marie, yeah.
I think so.
Speaking of another game, Mark Scheifele scored in overtime for the Winnipeg Jets.
A couple of goals in this game were right off a faceoff. He's walked into one. Pionk down for Wheeler. Scheifele scores! There's the power play goal.
I would just like to point out the absolute look of disgust. Was that I don't think that was the overtime. That might have been not the overtime goal, but it was a clutch goal.
It should say it on the thing where
it was a clutch goal. It just said clutch, so I didn't know if it was overtime. But
it should say, is the scoreboard not on there?
Let me just pull it back up.
It should have the.
I would just like to point out the look of absolute disgust. No, it was late in the third. Oh, so it wasn't an overtime game. I thought it was overtime.
No.
My fault. My fault.
So Keller actually did. He played on Boston.
Okay.
And with USNDT.
With Miles Wood.
Yes.
Terrible player.
And
speaking of an overtime winner.
He set the all-time record for points, but do you know who broke that?
Who?
For the U.S. national team.
Jack Hughes.
Yes.
I am sad. Jack Hughes. Overtime winner, Colin Miller, ends
it
in overtime.
Drops it back to Eichel. He's got some room. Johansson down low. Cross-ice pass. Scores!
I would like to point out, did you hear Rob Ray almost say something there? He's like, oh.
Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling routinely do that. They're like, well, Keith always goes, Whenever he doesn't like something, he goes, On this date, the Miami Miracle, one of the greatest plays we've ever seen.
The only other football thing we will talk about today.
Probably, because football is almost getting to the playoffs.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it. And this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling, oh look out, Gronkowski didn't have the angle, touchdown, Kenyon Drake, a miracle!
I just love the terrible defense by Gronkowski. He's just back there. They put him on there because they were so confident that the game was over. You're like, yo, Rob, why don't you go out on
also, defense? Was that Chris Myers on the call, I think?
No, it was Ian Eagle, I think. That,
whoever it was just didn't say anything for a good 5 seconds. He's like,
or will it?
Gronkowski doesn't have the angle.
What an unreal play.
And
then
another
obscure clip. One of my obscure clips for once.
Hey, but you at least name. I don't name mine.
You don't name yours. I just do. This is Jose Lobaton's walk-off in the ALDS in Game 3 in 2013.
This Uehara is a strike-throwing machine. In the air, right center field. Let's get a chance. Jose,
Better goal horn for the Rays than the Panthers, in my opinion.
I like the Panthers.
I do like the Panthers. But here's what I'm saying about this home run. One of the few home runs to actually land in the Rays tank. Can you believe that? There's like, I think, five or six that have ever done that. Jose Lobatone walk-off. And then today's card of the day, our last segment. We always wrap it up with this one. 2004 Donruss Elite, number 25, Ellis Burks. And actually one of the best players you've never heard of.
I actually like this one because
it's like perfect.
Above his name, it says that he signed. Like, you don't see that on many cards.
No, yeah. Once what they do is.
Or technically, I guess this is a new one because it's him with Cleveland in the picture, so.
By the way, 2004 was his last season in the majors. He was drafted 20th overall in 1983 by Boston. One of the best players you've never heard of. I'll get to his stats in a little bit. He played 1987 and 2004 with Boston.
Long career.
Yeah, very long career. Boston, White Sox, Colorado, San Francisco, and Cleveland.
So drafted by Boston, signed with them to end his career.
Yeah, and exactly 2,000 games played. I looked that up in Baseball Reference and didn't believe it. He hit 291, 363, 510 with 352 home runs and 1,206 RBIs. Here's a guy that is one of the best, most underrated players in MLB history, in my opinion, that I never heard of, and I didn't know he was this good. Whew. And then,
two-time All-Stars, yeah. 90 and 96, 1990 Gold Glove winner, and 1990 and 96 Silver Slugger winner.
Yes, and then his best season came in 96 with Colorado. He hit 344 with 40 home runs, 128 RBIs, led the league in total bases, runs, and slugging, and a 7.9 wins above replacement, which was 2.6 WAR more than his previous high, which is in 1988. So he just became a god in 2004, or in 1996.
No reason why. Maybe it was that his only year with Colorado? Or?
It was his like third or fourth year in Colorado, I believe, but I think he just had a breakout year. And then in 25 postseason games in his career, he hit 280, 346, 452 with 3 home runs and 11 RBIs. But we're not going to bring up a postseason home run of his. We'll bring up his 40th home run in 1996. We will take you to that right now. That is the last moment of the day.
He takes outside ball one. He is walked, he is singled, and lined out. Here comes the pitch. Swung on in a high fly ball deep into center field. Back goes the center fielder Jones at the wall. Number 40! Home run number 40 for Ellis Burks.
Radio call on that one.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I know, but you'd expect to hear the bat almost more because they didn't have isolated mics. But, I mean, I guess they didn't.
It was back in the 90s.
They probably didn't have bat mics in the field for bats.
Yeah, I mean, radio is obviously what I want to get into, or TV, but that's crazy how it sounds now. And then if you pull it up nowadays, it sounds so much better. It's just evolved over time. But that's all we have today. Ellis Burks, one of the best players you've never heard of once again. We have break. We have a month break. We'll come back with season three. So this is the season two finale. It's been a wild ride season.
No, technically it's going to be still season two because we're going year by year.
Oh, that's right.
Because technically, if that was the case, this would be season three.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
season 2.5.
We started in November last year, so technically the full season was the full year because we didn't have a lot of...
Well, it's season 2.5.
Season 2.5. Well, that is all we have for this season. Pretty good episode. There's going to be a lot of signings when we come back. We will see you back in January. Once again, I'm Tyler Gallo.
I'm John Hanna.
We will see you not next Monday, but in a while.
Yes.